All right, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter, and I'm here with my long esteemed partner of almost 18 years and Maximum Value Partners of Jack Mancini. Jack, how are you tonight?
I am excellent, Adam. I am excellent tonight. The sun is out. There's still a couple hours left of it. I'm feeling good.
You're feeling good. All right. Well, we have a great program tonight for our listeners. And this is for those of you who are been to our program for a while, you know, we used to have a show live on the radio. We're now shifting over to just doing the podcast. We're using Zoom, which has been fantastic to help us do this. And it's also adjusting the length of our shows. So we aren't tied into having just an hour show anymore. It could be less or longer or whatever we kind of need. So tonight, we're not sure how long we're going to go, but we're going to be talking about a mindset that we think is pretty important today, given what's going on with the coronavirus and COVID-19. And that is what we're referring to as the turnaround mindset. And we've got an expert in this, and my partner, Jack, here. And you know, and during Jack's corporate days, he had some good experience with some turnaround situations. But perhaps more importantly, it relates to this situation, when he would have gone out and bought, fixed up, and sold five companies that were in trouble. And so I want to kind of get our audience's mindset properly, Jack, because again, there's been some tremendous body blows or, you know, right hooks or whatever you want to kind of say to people's companies right now, where, you know, a lot of companies are either slowed down, upside down, shut down. And a lot of owners are scrambling, trying to figure out how do they kind of come out of this and do stuff. And I think that turnaround mindset is an important mindset to have. So if we had to talk about a kind of a turnaround mindset, is there a way that you would summarize that, Jack, or kind of have people kind of think about when we say a turnaround mindset, what kind of things would be part of a turnaround mindset?
Oh, boy. First of all, an expert. Why, thank you for giving me that title. I'm way too humble to accept such a title, though. So thank you anyway. Anyway, with turnarounds. Yeah, the mindset of a turnaround is basically to get their hands around what's going on right now immediately. What's nice about a turnaround is that you can do the second guessing. You got a history there of mistakes that eventually will, as you examine the records and you examine the operation, the history of those mistakes really become the basis for your targets of repairing and making right again. You know, you got the game plan almost laid out for you if you do it right. But a turnaround mindset says, look, I'm going to understand what's being done here. In that process of, we'll call it an audit, in that process of auditing, you're going to find mistakes that have been made. And can you correct those mistakes? Yes, you can. You usually can. And once you do that, you set the path for reclamation and success. So the stuff going on today in the economy, right now, God, we don't know how bad it's going to get. But there's going to be a lot of companies that basically, smaller ones, that's what we deal with, that are going to go under. They just aren't going to survive because they don't have the certain things in place that are necessary to really run a successful company. So turnaround mindset is going to be, I'm losing money for what reasons? Because that's why I'm trying to turn this company around. Turnaround is basically a company losing money or about to go over the cliff because they've lost so much money. So we have to identify those areas and then repair them. It's the same thing with somebody who's looking to try to adjust in an economy that's really locking their customers up and not letting them come in and do what customers do, spend money. So how do you correct this situation? That's a big deal, Adam, you know, to basically try to figure out what you have to do to make this company right.
All right. That's some good fodder for thought here, Jack. Because you're talking about kind of coming in and be able to look at things historically. That's where people always kind of will look. And I think many people are pining for those days, Jack. We're calling the pre-corona days, right? Where, you know, even though it was only a few weeks ago, it seems like a long time ago. But people might get stuck there, and that's one of the biggest trouble spots, or you know, one of the last things you want to do is get stuck in the past. It's good to use the past to help learn from, as you're saying, Jack, to learn from some of the mistakes that have been made in the past. And when it comes to this, I'm glad you gave some definition here. When we're talking about turnaround, folks, we're talking about companies that are losing money. And so many of you, and maybe have never experienced that until all of a sudden this last month now, where things have been kind of gone out of control, where all of a sudden you know there's nothing you can do but lose money, because if the spigot of revenue has been turned off, you still have expenses that are there. So part of what we're trying to do is trying to get people's mindsets, Jack, to get them set in the right way. And so one of the things that you talked about was this whole idea of kind of get your hands around what's going on immediately. And knowing you as I do, Jack, I know when you talk about immediately, you're talking about the next 90 days. Is that a fair statement in terms of immediacy? Yeah,
the immediacy is the first step is to try to create a balance sheet. All right, that kind of lets you start the process. That's the best way to start. So if you're a company that's suffering losses right now, like so many are in this corona world we're living in, all right, the first thing you want to do is look at your assets and your liabilities. You want to see those, and you want to have an idea that, look, I'm going to get a balance sheet put together. I'm going to analyze it. I'm going to see what I need in the way of improved assets, if I can. And then I'm going to execute. I'm going to do things in the next 90 days very decisively. That's going to put me on track for profitability, or tell me that this company just can't make it the way it's currently configured, and we might as well use the process through the courts to get myself started again, or just abandon this. But it's being decisive, and it's a 90-day horizon, and you got to operate pretty aggressively in that period to get down to cash flow being positive. If you can do it.
Okay. So cash flow positive. So yeah, so getting a sense of where you're at is starting with the balance sheet. So for those of you familiar with the balance sheet, you know, Jack's mentioning assets. So we're looking at the most liquid ones to start with, the most liquid ones being things like cash and savings. But it's also looking at other assets that you might have. So it could be things like accounts receivable, things like inventory. Many of these things that on your balance sheet looked one way a month ago, might look very different today, right? So we're talking about accounts receivable. You may have had good receivables and nobody's paying you late. Now all of a sudden, people can't pay you, right? So for the first time, maybe you're having some trouble collecting receivables, or as you start to kind of go out. But I guess to your point, Jack, in terms of being very aggressive and talking, a big part of this would be, if you're looking at your receivables, not just looking at what's on paper or in your accounting system, but literally reaching out to all these people who owe you money right now.
Sure. Well, you want to do a couple things. I want to see what I have. I really want to see what I have. So many times, I have assets that have some hidden value that just isn't being tapped, like old inventory, like some furniture in this operation, some assets that were used of its manufacturing that have value to it. That will be one track that would be laid out to see what kind of value truly in terms of cash I could get from those. I want to understand my liabilities. I have to understand that. Now, before I do anything with any liabilities, and that would mean contacting my creditors and trying to work something out with them, I have to have an idea of what kind of cash flow I can generate and what kind of cash requirements or credit requirements are going to be required to get my profit plan put together and executed. Because unless I have a sense over the next 90 days, what I'm going to be able to generate myself in cash, I can't go about the process of settling with my creditors and negotiating with them. Keyword is negotiating. And people will generally negotiate with you if you have a convincing plan, are calm, have a mindset that really you're going to work with them to rectify the situation, and the situation being I owe them more money than I can pay at this time. If I'm armed with this balance sheet and profit plan, I can now begin the work of turning the company around. And if I have a good plan, I'm going to be successful quite quickly. If I don't have a good plan, I might end up being in worse shape than when I got involved with the company. But that's usually not the case.
Right. And we're trying to get people set up again. We're taking this turnaround mindset. We're using it to help people understand the kind of mindset that they should have right now with what's going on with their business. And so you said cash about 10 times here, Jack, which is, you know, that's because it's very, very important. That's something that we're guiding all of our small business owner clients right now to make sure that you're stockpiling as much cash as you can. To your point, let's see what we have. Let's get that pile put over here in the corner and see what we have. Once we know that, we can then go out and engage with people, whether it be folks that we owe money to or anything else. At least we know what we have. So if we have no pile of cash at all, you know, that doesn't leave us very many options, right? But if we have some cash, we have some options. And what's nice about this, Jack, I got to believe, at least what we're seeing and hearing when it comes to negotiating, and you talk about that too. When you were doing that with your turnaround situations, I mean, I guess you had some pretty tough creditors that didn't want to talk about stuff because they were mad about what happened in the past. I think today, when you call your creditors, they're much more open to talking about how they can help you because, again, they recognize this isn't something that you have caused as the owner. It's more situational from that standpoint. So I think it's important for people to know if you don't know what you have. Your point is that, you know, you use something too. You tell about people being calm to kind of go out, and that's something that's, I think, it's probably hard for people to kind of keep in mind these days, Jack, to be calm. But I think your point is, if I have cash and I know what my cash position is right now, that helps create a calmness versus not knowing where I'm at and I'm just all over the place, which is where I think, unfortunately, too many owners are right now. And we got to get them calmed down to say, hey, look, you got to get a sense of what your cash is going to be. And I think part of that too, you know, I want to throw this in here, Jack, in terms of what we're seeing out there. There's a lot of programs now as part of the stimulus package that was signed last Friday. One of them is, they're calling it the PPP, right? Which is the Payroll Protection Program, the 3P program. It's part of a CARES Act. But basically, as we're looking at this thing and more information is coming out from it, this is basically, for lack of a better term, I almost think about this as you're looking at the government, you know, being a short-term angel investor for you, or, you know, injecting some cash flow into the business. And the way a lot of these loans are structured is to help make sure you can pay your payroll, you can pay your utilities, you can pay your rent, you can pay your mortgage interest. So it's covering a lot of those basic expenses. And if you do that, that loan or that money that the government's giving you is basically like a grant. So when you're looking at your stockpile of cash, that's one of the things you got to be investigating. You got to be applying for this loan to see what you can get. Because again, if you use it for the ways it's specified, it's not going to be debt for you. It's just going to be cash you can use to help pay some of these expenses. And so if you're getting your plans together, you want to see all the different areas where you can pull cash from to make sure you've got it. So then you can then decide how it kind of gets parsed out.
Yeah. I have to know how much of an investment I have to put into the business as well. And cash is king, as they like to say, and they say that for a reason, because nothing really is going to move until you infuse cash necessarily or in the right places. So another big thing I like to do, and I think should be done, it's like spring cleaning in a house. You know, you clean the windows from the whatever builds up over the winter time, and you basically put things in order. You make order, because usually a turnaround situation has workstations that are not too orderly. We'll put it that way. And, you know, to get things in order is a step in the right direction. To bring all the employees together and talk about what the process is going to be. And what the process is going to be is, look, I've had time to study some of this stuff. This is done quickly within a matter of a couple of days. And you bring everybody together and you present the plan to them and you present how we're going to get out of this and what we need from everybody to move forward. If I can't do that 90-day plan, I have to really start to suspect that this might not be a good opportunity. And that could apply to somebody who's caught up in Corona or somebody who owns a company that I'm trying to help turn around, or something I may have just bought or got involved with in, as an owner. So it's important to basically do the plan, the balance sheet, the profit plan, to talk to your employees, to understand the cash, to understand what you're doing, and then try to get them inspired to basically move forward with this. Now, this sounds good on paper, but it gets pretty tough depending on the business. But there's always markets to explore, and that's the beauty part of dealing with a company that's established and has history. Even if that history isn't the most stellar history, it can tell you mistakes made and how to frame issues to, not issues, but opportunities to go forward with. So if a company has sales, how can we drum that up again? If in the Corona days now, our sales are being locked out, how much staying power do we have financially? And do we get excited enough about the future of this company, short-term future especially? Do we get excited enough that we want to take a run with it? It's very important. And that's true of any company. If we're making profits and we're running the plan successfully, life is good. There's not these issues, but these issues always exist. And those issues are understanding your financial position and understanding your market.
Okay. That's a good base to have. I think as you're talking, one of the things coming to mind, Jack, is time. And when you get this 90-day cash in place and kind of, you know, these 90-day plans in place, you have a sense of where you are. Like you said, first step is coming in and seeing what you have from a cash standpoint. Try to forecast as best as you can whatever the revenue coming in and additional expenses going out over the next 90 days. And if you can look at that 90-day window, if you can see it in a positive light where you're still going to have cash left at the end of the 90 days, that's now bought you some time. And, you know, coming back to your comment before about trying to, you know, have some calmness or to try to remain calm during a tough time like this. If you have time, you can see you've got some time. I think that does help you calm down and get focused and starting to be able to execute, like you're saying, that the planning is the first step of this. It's now going to execute that plan, which is the next thing. So having that plan in place, and the 90-day plan in place, helps to give you a sense of how much runway do we have. You know, that's a popular phrase that people use in the venture capital fancy pants words, right, Jack? When you have these startups are kind of going, they say, hey, what's the runway look like? And so they give you a good sense of that runway.
Yeah, the kind of turnarounds that I like to get involved with are those crusty old companies that the we'll call it the suits and ties don't necessarily like. They're usually too small, a little too dirty, not worth their time for the most part. To clean the place up if it needs it, and they usually do, to understand what your market is, you're going to find, because you can be coming in, well, look, if you come in with a good wealth of experience, which I have, you can see opportunities there that basically a lot of people don't even realize exist. For example, the first company I bought was a little company that was a little manufacturer. And this company was so bad, there were no records, and the Internal Revenue Service was in the process of closing it down. The reason I was even there, I was a vice president with a big major corporation, and I left that. And for several years, I got involved with the small business world. And the small business world is much different than the established larger corporations with all the resources and usually success that they have. And I opted out to get involved with the small business world. And eventually I found myself down a track to look for small companies to buy. So the first one that I got involved with was in the process of being foreclosed on by the Internal Revenue Service. And this is a great story, which I won't get into the real deep details of it, but I bought this company for very little. And when I went to look at it for the very first time, it was being shown by a broker who was in the process of taking it off the market. because the company basically was being foreclosed on by the IRS. So when I went to look at it, the place was a complete mess. It was a little manufacturing company, a complete mess. The office, the factory, there were 7 employees who were working there, and there were no records. There were no records. So I talk about a balance sheet and a profit and loss statement there. Those weren't even in existence. The broker didn't even know what I was talking about. So this is a pretty crusty little company. Those are the kind I liked. And while I was there, the basic, I was walking around. The place was a mess. The workstations were terrible. There was no process that you would be used to with a big company. And while I was there, the UPS guy came in and dropped off packages, picked up packages, and left. And as silly as that sounds, that told me that there was work going on here, you know? I mean, there was no manager really in charge. There was a factory foreman, if you will. He had the title, but he was one of the worker bees. And the company was just set adrift. So I was able to buy it without those things, and I bought it right. And during the process of cleaning up, I found a system of accounts receivable that were collectible as well. So I was able to find these little nuggets in the company that basically was destined for death, to be shut down. And the very things that I talked about, putting a profit plan together, get the company cleaned up, talk to the employees, inspire them. I was able to, in the first week, see the markets that they could get into with a little bit of effort, since there was no sales function going on. The company was old enough, where they had a rich history of product. And after a little market research, the vertical integration there, to use that fancy word, was very obvious that we could step up some of the products here. And within 90 days, we had a humming company. It was cleaned up. The employees were comfortable and having fun. I was having fun. And it was a turnaround. So we had a choice to let it go to the IRS and not even be in existence, or to do these kinds of things that I just described. There's no difference, Adam, with a company in the corona world that's all of a sudden had to be shut down by the government.
Right. I guess as I'm listening to that story, that, you know, you came in, you had the ability to be fresh with a fresh perspective coming in, not being burdened by the history. That's probably one of the toughest things I think people probably have right now, Jack, is, you know, because again, they know and love their company as they know and love it. And that's totally been thrown sideways here now in the last month for a lot of people. And so to try to shake themselves out of that, pull their heads up out of that muck and that mess, and say, okay, let's look out a little bit and see what could you do different? How could you look at your business differently now with kind of a fresh set of eyes? And so I guess what you're saying is almost like, if I'm going into a house, if I try to make this analogy of going into a house that I'm going to do some rehab to, Jack, and I got to bring that thing all the way down to the studs and kind of see what's there. So I have something that I can now add back onto and adjust and make new and make different. Or as I start peeling away the different layers, I find that the core and the structure is just bad. And so I guess I can use that analogy to compare it to, as you're saying, Jack, one of the first thing you're going to do is get a sense of where things are at, which is getting the balance sheet pulled together and seeing what we have from a cash standpoint, and getting our profit plan pulled together to forecast out sales and expenses to see if we have any profits coming in. If you see that there's a good foundation, or at least a good solid base to work from, you'd have something then kind of to work with. If not, you got to ask yourself really hard questions in terms of, what do I really have here, right? And is there, you know, to your point, if you have some additional funds that are available, but, you know, do you want to put more of your own money into this thing? If you can't see a near positive future, maybe you need to look at something totally different, or again, to try to reinvent or to revamp the business and reinvest it in ways you have in the past. And I think that's one of the things that we're talking to a lot of folks about now, Jack, in terms of this government money that's available, to look at it that way is a nice little boost to help you do that. Because again, it's, you know, if it's used in those ways, the vast majority of that money will be forgiven. It just be like a grant. So to try to think differently about your business, to think new, it's going to be, that's probably a very difficult challenge for many owners who have been in their company for 10, 15, 20, 30 years to try to cleanse that mindset. You know, it's probably very difficult for them to do at this point, Jack.
That's a big deal. You know, you're caught sometimes. Hey, you don't have the experience in running this kind of business. But that's also an advantage from the standpoint that if you understand the basics of business, which certainly I do, and ask dumb questions, which really aren't dumb, they're objective questions that are coming with a curiosity and an idea that, hey, maybe we could take this track. If we're going to invest money, do we want to invest it in a slight version of what you were doing before, where you lost this? Or in the case of your market being shut down by the government, how long will it take to get that market back again? And can you comfortably get it back again? And if you can't, those decisions really have to be made. There's a lot of decisiveness and hard decisions made fast. That has to be done. And if the company is to be shot dead, so be it. Then now what are you going to do? Let's focus our energies on that, on the next one, so to speak. It's not a mystery. It's not, if you're experienced and objective, it's not a difficult thing to turn a company around. It really is not. Unless the investment required to do that is overwhelming, where you could put it to somewhere else that would pay off quicker. But, you know, to turn these companies around that Corona is going to gobble up, hey, there's opportunities out there. And then the process is pretty much exactly the same as buying a much more difficult company.
No, that's a good point, Jack. I think that's kind of what we're hoping to kind of accomplish with our show today, kind of give people that sense in terms of a different way to kind of approach. You know, now you've got a chance to kind of settle in. The information flow is still coming pretty fast and hard, but it's starting to slow down or starting to kind of look like things are settling in terms of how this thing's kind of working out. That you as the owner, how do you kind of get that mindset right? And the idea of throwing this kind of turnaround mindset to people to say, look, this is a good way to think about stuff. To get these 90-day, I guess that's probably true too, Jack. If you, the whole 90-day idea, that's what you want to keep running on until you can start to look beyond that. So that might mean you have a 90-day plan for the next, you know, year, right? It's 90 days at a time. You're constantly kind of looking out to be able to see. And as long as that 90 days is looking doable, you keep moving forward, right? You keep moving forward on those plans you're talking about. And I think when you're saying be very decisive, if, hey, if we're 15, 20, 30 days in that first 90-day plan and things, again, things are changing, we can't just stick to the plan. We got to adjust. We got to make modifications to the plan. If we have new information that's coming down, if we have different things that have changed, we got to keep tweaking that plan. But I think, you know, to keep that 90-day mindset for the foreseeable future is a very, very key thing to do when you have that kind of turnaround mindset. Is that a fair way to kind of summarize it, Jack?
Sure it is. You know, you can accept gradual progress along the way. As long as you're moving on that 90-day plan in a positive way, you're going to be successful somewhere along the line if you have that staying power, if you want to put the investment in to keep that staying power. You know what I mean? So you're 90 day, you're always looking at 90 days. When you complete the first 30, you add another 30 to the tack, to the end of it. And basically, that's how you do it. You know, making profits is not hard sometimes. If you get the right workforce, then you have to do, you know, you have to do things that are required to run a successful company.
Yeah, I think if we encourage folks to do that, okay, and if you're thinking of that 90 days, you can make it through the next 90 days. If you're doing that 90 days after 90 days after 90 days, all of a sudden you're a half a year, you know, three quarters of a year into it. And what's happened during times like this, Jack, is if you have folks who don't have that kind of mindset, they're going to start falling by the wayside. Maybe it's not in the first 90 days, maybe it's in the second set of 90 days, right? But also they sort of kind of fall to the wayside. And if you have that staying power, that's why I'm talking about the whole idea of having time before, right? If you have that staying power, you can see I've got some time here. I have some runway still. Okay. At this point, you're trying to make sure you've got survival here so you can get through the stuff. At some point, it starts to open back up again then, right? So in the case for you, when you're buying and fixing those companies up, you weren't necessarily dealing with something like this pandemic, but this pandemic too is going to pass. And so as you come out of this stuff, the fact that you're still there alive and breathing is that's your first goal, right? You want to make it through this. And then once you do that, if you're still standing, some very good opportunities should be there that open up as well. You can maybe start to then, get beyond that 90-day mentality to start looking in 6 month, 12 month, a couple year chunks. But we got to get through this, these 90-day hurdles. And as far as we can tell right now, Jack, that's not going to be changing for the foreseeable future. Certainly not for the next 90 to 180 days, you wouldn't think. But to keep that mentality, we're terming it tonight as that turnaround mentality. I think it's a very, very key for folks to do during this kind of time, to stay positive as much as they can, try to be objective, especially when they're trying to make some of these tough decisions. And it's I think it's very, very helpful for them from that standpoint.
Keep their employees inspired. Damn. Excuse my coughing there.
That's all right.
Keep the employees inspired. And if it isn't going to work, don't get down. Don't feel, you'll feel bad, of course, but you got to keep yourself perked up. You got to keep yourself inspired yourself. And just don't fall in love with the product. Don't fall in love with the concept. This is a company that's in trouble for a variety of reasons. You know the reasons. You go down the list and do I want to really try to turn this reason around or not? It's not difficult overall. But it can be very emotionally charged too.
Sure can. I want to just kind of wrap it up here, Jack, because I think one of the things that we've been talking to a lot of our clients about, I think a shift I've seen this week from last week, is we're starting to get some of that excitement back that you're talking about. As we're getting these plans, what we're doing with our clients is exactly what we were talking about here today, Jack, in terms of getting these 90-day plans together. And as we've started getting those things kind of pulled together over the last week, as we come into this week and things are starting to get some more clarity, what's happened is there's a lot more positivity, a lot more positive energy that's coming out of this. And so that's a very good thing to see. So folks, it's not just something that applies to the turnarounds. It really does apply to this current situation. And so Jack and I are going to be here. We've been here for 4 years doing this show, 30 Secrets of Small Business. We appreciate you being part of it. We're here to help during this situation, and we're trying to give out the best guidance and advice we can during this time.
Well, Adam, we developed these 5 or 7 keys to success. And those keys were pulled together in part with pretty good extensive experience in turnarounds. But the application for all businesses, profit-making, profitable businesses, successful companies, they have these 7 keys. And if we were to get a turnaround right now and get involved in it, we'd use the 7 keys to guide our way through this. It talks about a profit plan. It talks about marketing. It talks about the things that I was just describing, because it applies to all businesses, big or small, and nonprofits or for-profits. There are certain things that should be emphasized in a business and be put in place where at all possible. And if these 7 keys are met, the company is going to be successful, defined as growing profits. So it's not a mystery. I don't want to oversimplify it, because it isn't really that simple. It's work. But the organizational components are identified and can help, quite frankly, move small turnarounds pretty quickly.
Well, that's good. And part of what I'll do is, as part of our show notes tonight, I'll put a link to the 7 keys in there, Jack. We covered that last week's show as well, and there's a link to it on our website. You can go see. I'll put that as part of the show notes tonight as well, so everybody can go there and see that. But that's the way to kind of do it. And again, stay positive during this time, folks. And if you want, if you have any questions for us, thoughts, feedback, feel free to email us at radio@maximumvp.com. Or you can give us a call at 877-849-0670. We're here every week. If you want to come to our website, you can get it, our Facebook page, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. You can also go to your smart device and wherever you get your podcasts, whether it be iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever it might be, you should be able to find us in all those places to be able to subscribe to it, have it come straight to your device. Jack, thanks for sharing your tremendous wisdom and experience tonight. and helping our listeners understand how to have this turnaround mindset. I think it's tremendous lessons to be learned from all the experience you've had, because you've made a lot of the mistakes and done a lot of the great things and the right things. And it's important for our listeners to be able to kind of take that next right step. And the 90-day focus. If you get nothing out of this other show tonight, folks, it's that 90-day focus. Make sure you keep that 90-day focus, because it's going to energize you, energize your team, and energize your company. So thanks for being with us tonight on Dirty Secrets of Small Business. We will see you next week. Have a great week, everybody.